Again, good evening, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all. Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Since it's Father's Day, allow me to tell you a story about fathers, about that. Four friends who hadn't seen for about 30 years reunited at a party. After several drinks, one of the men had to use the restroom. Those who remained talk about their kids. The first guy said, "My son is my pride and joy. He started working at a successful company at the bottom of the barrel. He studied economics and business administration and soon began to climb in the corporate ladder. And now he is the president of the company. He became so rich that he gave his best friend a top-of-the-line Mercedes-Benz for his birthday." The second guy said, "Darn, that's terrific. My son is also my pride and joy. He started working for a big airline company and then went to flight school to become a pilot. Eventually, he became a partner of the company where he owns majority of its asset. He's so rich that he gave his best friend a brand new jet for his birthday." The third man said, "Well, that's terrific. My son studied in the best university in Canada and became an engineer. Then he started his own construction company, and he is now a multi-millionaire. He also gave away something very nice and expensive to his friend's birthday, a 30,000 square foot mansion." The three friends are congratulating each other just as the fourth returned from the restroom and asked, "What are all these congratulations about?" One of the three men said, "We were talking about the pride we feel for the success of our sons. What about your son?" The fourth man replied, "My son is a gay and makes living dancing as a stripper at a nightclub." The three friends said, "What a shame. What a disappointment." But the fourth man replied, "Oh, no, no, not at all. I'm not ashamed. He's my son and I love him. And he hasn't done too bad either. His birthday was 2 weeks ago and he received a beautiful 30,000 square foot mansion, a brand new jet, and at top of the line, Mercedes-Benz." I don't know. Like father, like son. Bragging about children's achievements makes a father or a parent feel look like successful. It's a pat on the back that the parent did a good job. Many parents will admit that open their egos swell even when their children are the ones who earn the achievements. It is not a stretch to conclude that fulfilling our urge to brag about them could be just as gratifying as bragging about ourselves. It's like saying, like father, like son, or like parent, like children. And this is true vice versa. I mean, even children bragging about their parents and making themselves feel good about the achievements of their parents. But really what we mean here, what is going on here, is that we are thinking to be a better person than a person we think we are not. Unfortunately, the problem with bragging, even giving the braggarts the benefit of the doubt, is that they don't understand how offensive the boasting may be received. It is hard to excuse them, particularly when it is hurtful to you because your kids didn't or aren't doing well. In fairness, some who brag don't realize the impact it has on others. And so the idea behind like father, like son, sometimes turns out not to be a good idea or a bad idea. But the truth is, we don't need to brag in order to create an image of a better person than we think we are not. There is a way how we can truly be a better person, and the idea of like father, like son is truly an image of our own selves. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, it says, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our image. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's go further. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now the outline of my presentation would be, first point is the image or likeness of God, the Father. Secondly, the image of Son, the father of lies. The image of Satan, the father of lies. And thirdly, the image of Jesus Christ. One of the most exciting truths in the Bible is that God created us in his image. We find that after God made the world with its various forms, God created humans. We read in Genesis, in verse 27, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Human beings was created in the image of God. If you are looking for an explicit definition of what exactly constitutes the image of God in the scripture, you won't find one. Like many other doctrines, we understand the meaning and application of truth from careful contextual study of the relevant biblical usages in the Old and New Testament. So while I will try to discuss about the image of God, I cannot avoid using the New Testament. Unfortunately, doctrinal positions are sometimes obtained based on presupposed commitments to extra-biblical human ideas. That is why there are many differences in doctrinal views, polarities, divisions, and groupings among believers. But scholars have debated for centuries about the meaning of God's image. Most agree, however, that it includes the capacity to think, reason, love, choose, and act on our choices. We have the ability to interact and have fellowship with God. When God speaks to us through his word, the scripture, we can understand because we have the capacity to think like God. We can talk back to God in prayer. When God says to us, I love you, we can respond with, I love you too. When God tells us what to do, we can choose to obey or not. All of these are possible because God made us in His image. Every human being should realize the reality and blessedness of the fact that God created man in His own image and likeness. So, we do not seek self-worth but by what we possess and achieve in life, or by how we look, we derive our worth by who we are, being made in the likeness of God. I say that again in relation to my introduction. We do not seek our self-worth by bragging about our children or our family relatives or family members, by their achievements or by how we look. We derive our work by who we are, being made in the likeness and image of God. First point, the image and likeness of God the Father. But what is really the meaning of we having the image or likeness of God? Having the image or likeness of God means, in simplest terms, that we were made to resemble God. Adam did not resemble God in a sense of God's having flesh and blood. Scripture says that God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit and therefore exists without a body. However, Adam's body did mirror the life of God insofar as it was created in perfect health and was not subject to death. The image of God refers to the immaterial part of man. It sets man apart from the animal world, fits him for the dominion of God intended him to have over the earth. Genesis verse 28, Genesis chapter 1, and enables him to commune with his maker. It is an image or likeness that is mentally, morally, and socially. Mentally, it is an image like that is like mentally. Man was created as a rational, volitional agent. In other words, man has the capacity to reason and man is able to choose. This is a reflection of God's intellect and freedom. Anytime someone invents a machine, writes a book, paints a landscape, enjoys a symphony, calculates a sum of money or numbers, or names a pet, he or she is proclaiming the fact that we are made in the likeness and image of God. Secondly, morally, man was created in righteousness and perfect innocence, a reflection of God's holiness. God saw in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he made, including mankind, very good. That means all his creations are perfect in his intended purpose. Man is able to make moral and righteous decisions in life, and our conscience or moral compass is a trace of that original state. Whenever someone writes a law, recoils from evil, praises good behavior, or feels guilty, he is confirming the fact that we are made in God's own image. Socially, man was created for fellowship. This reflects God's triune nature and his love. In the Garden of Eden, man's primary relationship was with God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, implies fellowship with God. And God made the first woman because it is not good for man to be alone. Genesis verse 28 of chapter 2. An evidence that man needs fellowship. Every time someone marries, make a friend, hugs a child, or attend church, he is demonstrating the fact that we are made in the likeness of God, created with the ability to fellowship. part of being made in God's image is that Adam had the capacity to make free choices. These are all possible because we are made according to the image and likeness of God. Also, a common question that we heard is, why did God create man in his image or likeness? Some Christians say that God created man because God wanted to have fellowship with men, and God wanted companion. Some say that God loved us and he wanted us to fulfill his eternal plan. Others say that it is for God to display his love and wisdom in dealing with Satan. All these answers can be considered based on the Bible. And God is indeed someone who wants companion, someone who loves men, has a plan to be fulfilled, and is full of love and wisdom and others. But what was really God's purpose in creating man according to his image and likeness? According to the entire revelation of the Holy Scripture, God created man in his image and according to his likeness so that man would receive God as life and express God in all his attributes. We can see that in our text, 26 to 29. The reason God created man in his image inwardly and with his likeness outwardly was not for man to do anything for God or to be God's friend, but so that man and God would be organically one and God would be able to express through men on earth. We are created in a very special way according to God's kind, so that we may receive God as life, contain him, enjoy him, worship him, live him, and express him in all his creation. We have the capacity and ability to receive God by means of our spirit. And in our inner being, there are certain virtues which are designed to contain God, to contain the divine attributes of God that may be expressed through us. Whatever God does is according to what he is. He created man in his image and according to his likeness so that men would receive God as life and express him in his fullness attributes. We need to come back to what the Bible says concerning God's creation of man. If we would have the all-inclusive view of the entire revelation of the Holy Word, we will see that in eternity past, God designed man to be one with him. In time, he created man and provided a way for man to receive God as his life. And for eternity, God will be one with man and will be expressed in man in a corporate way. Just as we design a house according to our taste and preference. So God designed us in a particular way, making us in his likeness outwardly so that we would look like God, and with his image inwardly, having the human virtues as copies and containers of the divine attributes, so that we may receive God, be one with God, contain God, and express God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19 says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We were created not only to work for God, not merely fulfill God's purpose. We are created to receive God, contain God, be one with God, and express God. God created man in his own image as if creating a copy of himself on earth, made of clay and with the spirit. In his economy, God desires to dispense himself into men as life, fill men, be lived out in men, and be expressed to men corporately. We are created because of God's economy, and we were created in a particular shape with a specific organ, our spirit, for the purpose of receiving God, dispensing his life into us. We are supposed to be God's vessel to contain him so that he may be expressed through us, vessels of mercy, of honor, and of glory. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. God created us in his own image so that through his economy, we would receive his life and nature, and we would become his expression. We can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, John chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now to illustrate my point, I brought with me one of man's creation, a simple creation. Just as the glove is created in the image of human hands, it has four fingers and a thumb. But it is not real and does not fulfill its meaningfulness unless man's hand fills the glove. It can do nothing, but unless man fills it, now it can image what the hand can do. So we are created in the image of God, having all kinds of human virtues, but we are not fulfilled or satisfied unless God comes in to fill our virtues with his divine attributes. Without God's presence in our life, although created in the image of likeness of God, like the gloves, we are nothing and bound to self-destruct. That is exactly what happened when Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the text that we have read, Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie, that they will be a better human beings than who and what they are if they will eat the fruit of the tree, because their eyes will be opened and they will be like God, knowing good and evil. They believe Satan's lie, that God is hiding something better, and that they forgot that they are already like God, because they are created in the image and likeness of God. Instead, they saw that the tree was good for food, and that the fruit was to be desired to make one wise. They make a wrong decision to disobey God and believe Satan's lie that having the fruit is more important than having God. Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost the glow of God's image because sin separates them from their Creator. In so doing, Adam marred the image of God within himself, and he passed that damaged likeness on to all his descendants. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. 5 verse 12 said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. But even in our fallen condition, we may have the capacity to love, the desire to be in the light, the capacity to be right and holy with God. Our deepest need and desire may not be totally for earthly things or even psychological or philosophical things. It may still be for love, light, righteousness, and holiness, because we are still tailored for God, custom made for God to come in and fill us. But no matter how much we cultivate and develop the virtues humanly, they will not be for real and meaningful unless we are filled with God's divine attributes. We may love our parents, our friends, our spouse, our children, and others, but human love is imperfect, will run out. It is changing, and it's not real. What we need is for God's love to come in through our contact with Him and feel our love, sustain our love, and be expressed to our virtue of love. Today, we still bear the image of God. James chapter 3, verse 9. But we also bear the scars of sin, mentally, morally, socially, and physically. But what we are now showing is the effect of sin. Back to the illustration of the gloves. What Satan did is, instead of our life being filled with God, he filled it with something else. It may be money, riches, possession, achievements, career, everything. You may name it in our life, but it cannot image what our hands wants to do. And not only that, sin makes us a bondage and it doesn't reflect what the hand wants to do. It doesn't reflect what its creator wants to do. We may not even notice it, but every time we believe Satan's lie, by sinning and disobeying God, choosing other things better than God, we are accepting the image and likeness of Satan to be molded in us. The more we give in to Satan's lies and sin and accept everything that he offers to us to fill our life, maybe money, career, success, achievements, fame and glory, and believing that those things are better than having God and what God offers through his word, the more we become like Satan. And that's why I said, like Satan, the father of lies. As we became like Satan, we became like Satan, like son. This is a catastrophic thing to happen. But the good news is, there is hope for us to be restored into our original healthy image. The image and likeness of the Almighty God, our Father, our Creator. The scripture says that even before the foundation of the world, before God created the heavens and the earth, he chose us, predestined us, and selected us that we may be conformed to the image of Christ's Son. We can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 5, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And when the appointed time came, God became human in Jesus and paid the penalty of our sin at the cross. So what he did is he freed us. He freed us from the penalty and bondage of sin. And when we believed and accepted Jesus as our Savior, God places his spirit within us. Every believer in Christ became a partakers of the divine nature and enjoyers of life, of the divine life, being daily under the divine dispensing of God for our growth in the divine life to express God corporately. Now back to our illustration. It's like man's creation being filled with his hands again. It possesses the hand of the creator man like our life when it is possessed by God. Again, the good news is that when God redeems an individual, he reclaims what has been lost. He begins to restore the original image God created by creating a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. We call it new creation in Christ. Through Christ, we are made new creation in likeness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And Christ made our human spirit, which matches God's spirit, to be alive again. And through regeneration, we become one spirit with the Lord. Now our life, our Christian life, is a life of living one spirit with the Lord, one with Him in everything, continually living, receiving Him as life, so that we may also be able to express Him. That redemption is only available by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior from the sin that separates us from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. As we obey His word, God transforms us into Christ's image, and He will fully change us when He returns. All these are possible because God created us in His own image, the image of the Father and the image of the Son. And so we can now say we are like the Father, we are like the Son, or better, like God the Father, like Jesus the Son. So now we can do, the hands, the creator of this glove can do whatever he wants. The gloves can reflect and express what the hand wants to do. Can say, okay. Can say, I love you. But if it doesn't possess the hand, it cannot do anything, like our life. If there is no God, our life is useless. Even filling it with anything important in this world, it will not serve its purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 11, we see that Paul entreated the believers through the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and the truthfulness of Christ was in him. Meekness and Christ's truthfulness. Man was made by God to have love, light, walk righteously, be holy, and these are capacities in man created by God in his image so that man would take God in his life and allow God's life to be expressed through human's virtue. Shall we pray?